When you go to prayer on your knees or on your favorite chair and you call upon God to be your helper and your strength, what are you going to pray? What's going to be your first prayer? Thy will be done. That's how Jesus taught us to pray. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That becomes now the foundation of your praying. And each of us should be praying, Lord, lead me into the center of your will. Let every aspect of my life be truly in the center and agreeable to the will of God. Keep me out of trespassing.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and I count it a joy to bring the message of the Lord's Word to you today. We are coming to Revelation chapter 5. We continue on in our series, and I trust that the Lord will continue to speak as we look at these heavenly sights and sounds. We're going to learn today about this lion lamb. That seems a contradiction. That seems opposite. The lion's nature is to devour. The lamb, of course, is vulnerable. But the Lord Jesus is both our lion and our lamb. And that will come up in the message today. We're going to commence with the reading of the scriptures here in Revelation chapter 5. And I hope that that in itself will be a blessing to your own soul. But stay tuned for the message from the pulpit of our church as we let the Bible speak on the Lion Lamb, Revelation chapter 5. And at the close of the program, we'll be giving all the announcements concerning our church ministry here. Let's read together this chapter 5 in Revelation here. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the back side, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round above the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord write this beautiful portion of God's word upon your heart. God is on the throne, and he dictates the events, and he dictates what is going to happen. God builds as the architect, and this is the blueprint, and he assigns his messengers to do his will. And just as the architect puts it all down on paper, hands it to the contractor to build, one day that building should be exactly as the architect desired it to be. And here is this book in God's hand. This is called the decrees of God. I don't know how familiar you are with that term, but if you had been a Presbyterian in Scotland, or if you had immigrated to America in the colonial times, 1600s into 1700s, it was said of Presbyterians that when they came in their first winter in America, that they lived by the shorter catechism. That was their diet. When they had no food, they lived on the shorter catechism. And the shorter catechism gives a very crystal clear definition of the decrees of God. The decrees of God are his eternal purpose, according to the counsel of his will, whereby for his own glory he hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. Now, this is the God that we worship. This is the God that we pray to and sing about. This is the God that we represent when we witness to sinners and tell them that there is a God in heaven who has a plan to save sinners. And behind that statement, there needs to be the understanding, the confidence that God really reigns in every area of his creation. And if we don't accomplish anything more tonight, I want us to satisfy our hearts and come to a firm conclusion that our God works by decrees. He's not a responder to events. He creates the event, and he brings them to pass. Now, I've got a few proof texts here. First one is in Acts 15 and verse 18. And I'd like you to look at these. Acts chapter 15 and verse 18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Why? Because he's the creator. He's the creator. We are creatures. And woe betide us if we think that we have a God who's just like us. It was Martin Luther who said that your thoughts of God are too human. Your thinking about God is too earthly. And we've got to come to the realization, and we speak about God as sovereign. That means he dictates his will. We do not have sovereign monarchies today. We have limited constitutional monarchies. There is now a rapport between the queen and the government of the day. And the queen is limited in the authority as the head of state, and she defers
the legislation, the affairs, the government of the country to the democratic system. It's a limited constitution. But where you have a monarchy that is total monarchy, who has unlimited powers, and none dare question, that is in keeping with the mighty power and the authority of God. Now, Ephesians 1, verses 9 and 11, is another chief passage on this one. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 11. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Now that's sovereignty. The purpose is not in men. The purpose is not on earth. The purpose is not in circumstances. The purpose is in God's own character and desires. That's sovereignty. And that is the determination of God. Verse 11, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. That simply means to ordain beforehand for a specific purpose. Predestinated. According to the purpose of him who worketh some things after the counsel of his own will. Thank you for shaking your head. Not some things, all things. All things. Even the death of Farida, that pastor's wife in Uganda. It's a strange providence. We call it a tragedy. But it is not a tragedy to God. Having confidence that as a pastor's wife, she knew the gospel and knew Christ. For Farida, it is to be with Christ, which is far better. She is relieved from the burdens of this world. She would never have chosen, I'm sure, to leave those children, her own especially, and her husband, and the ministry they had. But in the sovereign ways of God, who tells us that his ways are higher than our ways, they are inscrutable, beyond questioning. And now Douglas needs the grace to bow and say, so be it, Lord. The Lord hath given, the Lord hath taken away. Are you convinced yet? Are you a sovereigntist yet in the decrees of God? Let's go to Daniel 4 and verse 35. I really love this verse. This is a great text in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35. And here now is the conclusion of Nebuchadnezzar. You remember Nebuchadnezzar, that proud, arrogant rebel against God. We're told here in Daniel 4:35, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he, that is God, doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? You see, we're creatures. We're just little insects. We're just little grasshoppers. We're so insignificant in the eyes of this almighty God. And in his wisdom and power, he governs over all things. We have this picture of God seated on the throne with a book, and it's chock full of God's will and purposes written on the inside and on the backside, and it's in his right hand, and the cry goes up, no one can take the book. That becomes the despair. But I have one more passage on the decrees of God, and that is Romans 11. Romans 11, the last few verses, verse 32. Romans 11:32, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Now the incident here is God's sovereignty in whom he saves. And then it bursts out into a doxology. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? There's a little mouse, and he comes up and he tells you what to do. That's like proud man defying the wisdom, the sovereignty of God. He's in control. Now, wherein lies the comfort? Because Jesus said that not a hair of your head falls without God knowing. Not a sparrow falls. There's not an event that will take place in your life outside of the decrees, the purposes, what is determined for you. We know that the day of our death is determined. It is appointed unto man. There is a divine appointment for the day of our death. And we will not extend it. All the health food in the world will not make us live a day longer. And whether we live in relative safety or in danger, we will live and we will die what is predetermined by a sovereign God who rules over every detail of his creatures. Now, some people think that God does this because he knows everything. He's the all-wise God, and therefore, knowing everything, he is able to predict it. But that's not the decrees of God. The only way that God can know anything by certainty is if he makes it certain. God does not look down the pipeline of the future and see what a man or woman will do or how events will come together and then write up the book. That would be responding to the circumstances. No, God is the architect who writes in the book, and in the fullness of time, his purposes come to pass. This is a great comfort. What is the future of his church on earth? What's going to happen in persecution? How's the church going to survive through the Antichrist and all the opposition? What is the safety net of the church? Surely it is in the decrees and the foreordained purposes of God. And so we say then that this book of Revelation is a book of comfort. We'll not do it now, but we will come to many places where it will refer to Satan and his diabolical works attacking the church, and it will say something like this: it was given unto him. That means God gave the devil permission to work whatever he was planning to do. Now again, that's a mystery. But remember that God is the expert of bringing good out of evil. And the final plan, of course, is that Satan is defeated. But all things work together for good to them that love God. And we need to rest in that knowledge. That will change your prayer life. That will change how you pray. When you go to prayer on your knees or on your favorite chair and you call upon God to be your helper and your strength, what are you going to pray? What's going to be your first prayer? Thy will be done. That's how Jesus taught us to pray. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That becomes now the foundation of your praying. And each of us should be praying, Lord, lead me into the center of your will. Let every aspect of my life be truly in the center and agreeable to the will of God. Keep me out of trespassing, departing from the good will of God. Another description of the book is that it is sealed with seven seals. Let's go back to Revelation here, to chapter 5. And we see that this book is sealed with seven seals. Now, we need to try and understand what these seals are. If we don't understand them, we'll never really make much progress here. And again, you have to let the pot soak to try and figure this one out. Seals, typically in these scrolls that were used for official documents and so on, very special documents, they were archived at times by kings and queens and people in authority, and they would be large, as I mentioned, and they would be divided into sections. And each section would be daubed with clay or a wax, so that they would, not just everything would roll out and open up, but each separate section would open up at a time. And that only one section at a time could be viewed without breaking the more seals. And so for each section, you need to break one seal, then into a second section, break another seal. And we see that this scroll is now divided into seven sections with the seven seals. And each seal was like a chronological opening of the will of God for His church and for His people. And these seven seals, they run from chapter 5 right to the end of chapter 7 and indeed into chapter 8, verse 1. Chapter 8, verse 1, you'll read of the seventh seal. And that is the first cycle of the purposes of God until Christ returns. When the seventh seal is broken, there is silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And of course, the purposes of God are unfolding, and it is time for Christ to return. We learn, and here now is the definition, and I'm trying to work these things together. Description, definition. We have a description of these seals. The definition, we learn that only God can reveal His will, and only God can fulfill His will in time. Nobody can open the book. There is no one to open the book. It's in the right hand of God, and His plan is yet to be unfolded. Now, this calls us to wait on the Lord. What is the Christian life anyway? How would you sum up the Christian life? It's a life of trust. It's a life of depending. You read the Psalms and how often it says, wait on the Lord. And again, I say, wait on the Lord. The Christian life is not me pushing my agenda. When it comes to church building, when it comes to witnessing, when it comes to evangelism, what do? We wait on the Lord. Are we ever going to see this church filled? I've been preaching here now for 34 years. There've been ups and downs. There's been times of promise and times of retreat. And I wonder, in the years left, are we ever going to see this church filled? Well, that's God's work. That's in God's hands. I don't know. It may please the Lord to send us an increase. It may please the Lord to burst the seams of anything we have known before. And mind you, I was reading in 2 Timothy yesterday, and it talks about in the latter days, evil men shall wax worse and worse, and it talks about the decline in the times. And that might be the will of God. Persecution might come. Oppositions unknown before might come. But again, nothing's going to happen in this church outside the will of God. That I know. And my burden and plan is simply say, Lord, keep us faithful in doing Your will. That's it. And if we're faithful to the Scriptures and seek God's face and keep in prayer and go forward on our knees, then we will be as close to the will of God as humanly possible. And I trust we will know God's blessing, and it will be His good pleasure. And that's how we should pray in our prayer meeting. Lord, may it please You. May it bring pleasure to Your name, to bless this ministry, to work Your purposes, to build Your church. Are you doing that? Are we totally submitted and surrendered to the revealed will of God? Now, there are those things we don't know. And the things that are not revealed belong unto the Lord. But the things that He has revealed, they are our business. And we are to be doing them with all our hearts. Now, I'll not go any further tonight, because to dig into the despair of no one to open the book would take a while. And then to look at the lion lamb that is mentioned. That's one of the great surprises. The lion lamb? What a wonderful picture. And again, it's like a pictograph. We've got to dwell upon its meaning and rejoice that we have no weak Savior. We have no weak Savior. He's a lion lamb. Let us worship Him. And then the book ends just like a hallelujah chorus. I'm sorry, the chapter ends like a hallelujah chorus. Every creature lifting up their praises. It is a wonderful scene. And that's when I'm going to start my music ministry. Beulah's not going to be playing an organ anymore. She'll be playing a harp. She will be promoted to a harp. And I will be her songster. And we'll go around heaven singing together. We'll have a duet in glory. And may the others join in. And may we exalt the Lamb. What a wonderful future. Let these things fill our hearts with joy.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.